You're listening to News New Mexico, where we are in the business to help New Mexico businesses.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
Hold on to your lug nuts. It's time for an overhaul.
Turn it up, son.
I'm your huckleberry.
I don't give jobs. I hire men. You won't give me anything, and I won't give you anything.
Collision, sir.
Whoa, relax. We're not even moving.
There's no crying in baseball.
We are News New Mexico for Tuesday, December 20th, 2011. Jim Spence is here. I'm Michael Swickard. Rachel Pileski is posting as we speak. Our website, newsnm.com. Our producer directors, Jerry Harden, executive producer, Kyle Doporalski. In studio, we have two guests in studio concurrently, which is just great. Oh, we have Representative Andy Nunez, District 36 in New Mexico, the only independent in the New Mexico legislature. We also have Heath Houselman, who is the owner and master of nmpolitics.net. He has been doing this 5 years now, and he started the trend of doing it, and he's still leading the pack.
And I'm also an independent, so it's an independent morning.
There are four independents right here.
All
I'm
right,
an independent.
What's going on here? This is a big. This could be a caucus.
It's a caucus.
It could be. Welcome, Representative Nunez.
Thank you. Good to be here again.
Okay, so what's going on in your mind politically? What are you thinking about when you go to the coffee shop? What's people sitting down saying, Andy, I want to talk to you about politics?
Well, what they tell me is that they could vote in the primary, that they would be independents also, or decline to state.
And all so, right. Well, so do you want to carry a bill that says that?
I'm looking into it.
That just says that we'll just let everybody vote, and they can vote
either
side.
They do in other states. Iowa does, and several others.
That you could choose which primary you vote in if you're not registered with either party.
Right.
And I think if that were the case, Representative, wouldn't it be that most of us who are declined to staters would vote in the Democratic primary, because there's some choices in the Democratic primary sometimes than the Republican primary. You're lucky if you even get one candidate.
Well,
no, I'd be voting in the Republican myself.
You would? Yeah, I mean, he's usually only one candidate, isn't it?
I like Janice Arnold Jones myself personally. She was co-host with us.
But you're not in her district.
Oh.
Right. I mean,
you have to bring that up.
There you go. Sorry.
It does seem to depend on the year and the district. But in southern New Mexico in general, we often do get one Republican in every race.
Jim, you're right.
All right, Dandy. I got to ask you this. Your take on the Cheryl Williams Stapleton mess last week in Santa Fe.
Well, I think it's unfortunate, and I know Cheryl real well, and I think that if she's really a party person, that she'd probably step down, because if not, it's going to hurt the Democratic Party, and if they don't take it into their own hands, if she don't, I think it's going to hurt them also.
Well, let me ask this, because this is what I find interesting about this. You've had big issues with the leadership in the House in the Democratic Party. You were a Democrat for a long time and really only left, I think, because of Speaker Ben Lujan. If we saw some changes in leadership, for example, if he decided not to seek reelection, is there some Democrats think you might come back into the party? Is there a chance that would happen?
No.
No?
Not at the time.
Okay.
No. I want to stay. I'm happy where I'm at.
Okay.
And I think that there's over 20% of the people in the state are declined to state folks, and I believe we could get a law to where they could vote in the primary. I would venture to say that 50% of the people in the state of New Mexico would be independent.
Yeah,
we've had a tough year for agriculture because we didn't have enough water.
Absolutely.
And this has been one of your big areas is water. What are we going to do about water? Because without water, we can't have green chili.
Right, absolutely. Well, I'm glad to see all this snow falling up north.
Oh, that's good.
It is really helping out some. And it's not like last year's snows. You know, last year it snowed a lot, but then the winds came and blew it all away. None of it went to the ground. This has all been wet snow, and it's really been great. And I hope it keeps on all winter.
So what I understand about snowfall up in southern Colorado is it has to be in the Rio Grande drainage gorge. I mean, it. In other words, snow in Colorado does not automatically equate to more water in the Rio Grande and in Elephant Butte Dam and places like that.
No, some of that goes into the San Juan.
Mm-hmm. So, but in the area that is important to the Rio Grande and all of the irrigation districts along the river, we are getting some snowpack, is what you're saying.
That's right. And we're also getting some that goes into the Pecos.
Ah, okay. Good.
So with the legislative session coming up, we were talking at the break, you're talking about legislation that would allow independents to choose a primary and vote in either the Democratic or Republican primary. Some states already have this. Can you talk some more about that? You just mentioned it, but can you talk about the chances for that passing and what it would mean for New Mexico?
Well, I think it would mean a lot for New Mexico. And what the chances are for passing, I'm not sure. I've had several people contact me to do just that, and that's why I'm even contemplating it. Okay. And I think what we can do, I don't know whether I've never talked to the governor about it, and I think that we can get a joint resolution that doesn't require the governor's approval. And if we can get that, it goes out to the voters. If we can get both chambers to approve it.
Okay.
And I don't know why they wouldn't approve it.
Well, and the question would be, there's another way to do it, which you can vote it in a way where it then becomes law, you know, right after it's signed. I forget what that's called, where you force it. And then it could be used.
But it has to be a law, a bill.
It has to be a bill. Are you thinking resolution or are you thinking bill?
Well, it depends. I need to talk to the governor first.
Yeah.
Well, because if she's going to veto it, then you go resolution.
We'll try to get Tom Taylor on the show, who is the House Minority Leader, to get his views on this. I'm pretty sure the gentleman on the second floor, Speaker Ben Lujan, would oppose that. But I don't know about Tom Taylor. My guess is it's even money he'll oppose it too.
Would there be a senator that would carry the water on that side?
Well, that's what I haven't done. I've just, the last couple of weeks, you know, I've had some people call me and ask me to do this.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of them say that they would immediately change if they had that right.
Is it really fair for all of us Klein-de-Staters to be essentially have to pay a price in order to say, you know what, I don't want to be considered a Democrat or a Republican? Is it fair to say to those people, you have no choice in the primary?
I think we're being disenfranchised is what I think.
Yeah, there we go.
We're talking with Andy Nunez. He's District 36, the only independent in the 112 members of the New Mexico Legislature, Senate, and House. Got Heath Houseman. He's here in studio also. He has NEMPolitics.net. We are News New Mexico. It is 14 minutes past the hour. You can go to newsnm.com and follow along. We'll be right back.
The 2011-2012 Live Thoroughbred and Quarter Horse Racing Season is tearing up the track at Sunland Park Racetrack and Casino. You won't want to miss a single minute of the action as these amazing athletes compete in the 53rd season of live racing every Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Post time is 12:25 p.m. And this promises to be a season to remember. Sunland Park Racetrack and Casino supports responsible gaming. For help, call 1-800-572-1142. Ring in the new year with great food and great entertainment during our one-of-a-kind New Year's Eve celebration. Tickets are just $35 per person or $250 per table for eight and include dinner, champagne for toasting, party favors, and live musical entertainment featuring the Alex Martinez Band. Must be 21 or over to attend. Reserve now at 575-874-5200 for the best New Year's Eve celebration in the Southwest.
Sunland Park Racetrack and Casino.
Take I-10 to Sunland Park Exit 13.
New Mexico has rich reserves of natural gas and oil that benefit New Mexico in many ways. The oil and gas industry provides reliable energy that helps us to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. The industry also supports over 26,000 high-paying jobs. And get this, New Mexico's oil and gas industry pays over $6 million in taxes and other revenues to New Mexico's state and local governments every day. That was nearly $2.2 billion in 2010. These dollars pay for our teachers, build our public schools, and fund our universities. And communities across New Mexico benefit whether or not you have oil and gas in your area. With continued access to state, public, and private land, the oil and gas industry can continue to grow while protecting our environment for the benefit of New Mexico and the benefit of all of us. Learn more about New Mexico's oil and gas industry at www.nmoga.org.
Thank you. My name is Meera Batra. I have been in this country 32 years, and this is how I live united. America has always been the land of promise, and in my community, many families have come for a better life. Coming from another culture myself, I know the desire to become part of a community, to feel at home, and to gain the tools for our children and families to succeed. So I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to look beyond their histories and to see what opportunities are available. We help them get involved with their kids' schools, network within the community, and when we do, we unite them. We make the community stronger. What I do is something I wish someone had done for me, and I am so grateful I am able to. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunities and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where our business is your business.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
We are News New Mexico. Actually, Jim Spence and me, Michael Swicker, we're not that mad, but we do like that from, what was that?
Broadcast news or something? No. What was that thing?
Yeah, I know Jerry Harden would know which one
it was. It was a movie.
I don't know.
It is Tuesday, December 20th, 2011, leaning out the...
I can't remember. I know what you're talking about, but the name slips me for some reason.
Yeah, Network or something.
Network,
that was it.
Got Andy Nunez here. He's the representative from District 36, which is near Hatch, New Mexico, down in the southern corridor. We have Heath Houseman. He's got NMPolitics.net here, and let's see... Your question for Andy.
My question. So we've got the Board of Finance taking a final vote today on the deal to lease the state fairgrounds to the Downs at Albuquerque. It's been a lot of controversy up there. People have accused the Martinez administration of pay-to-play. What are your thoughts on the whole deal?
Well, my thoughts on the whole thing is that the state puts too much money into the state fair.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have all the county fairs, you know, throughout the state, and the state doesn't help them any. And
and
it's always been into big politics in the state fair.
Yeah,
and it looks like nothing has changed.
All right, so we're still seeing some political decisions. Do you think we can have a big, heavily funded state fair without those kind of problems?
Well, I think if it changed management and some things the way they do things, I think they could.
Yeah. Is that lease really associated with state fair, or is it is it the Racino?
It's at the fair grounds, but it's for
the Racino.
It's for a track and casino, but which would certainly be a draw to the state fair, but also year round potentially.
Yeah. Right. And don't you think though that's a bit of a bugaboo, because one of the things that is true about racing and Racino representative is that. If you go to a place like Sunland Park or over in Hobbsia Park, Sunray Park up in Farmington, you have very healthy racinos. But you go to a place like Ruidoso or the Downs at Albuquerque where there are Indian casinos very close by, none of those are really very successful, are they?
No, not really. And actually, the one at Sunray is not all that good either.
Right, and there's a casino up in Ignacio, Colorado, not too far away.
Well, now the Navajos got one at
right, that's right, you're right.
It's my understanding, though, that the winning bid did agree to throw about $20 million at that Racino. So, and it is also my understanding that the people who were mad about the process basically were competing casino interests. Am I wrong about that?
I'm not sure. And I'm surprised that the Native Americans that also bid on that didn't raise more stink than they did.
Well, I think that is the source of the stink, is the Native Americans.
We're talking with Andy Nunez, 20 minutes past the hour. There's this feeling that the end of the state is Socorro, that there's nothing below Socorro. If you're in Carlsbad or – Alamogordo or Las Cruces, it doesn't exist. You get that because you're a representative down there.
Oh, absolutely. And we keep trying to remind them folks up there, you know, that there's – a matter of fact, I've also thought that what we ought to do is divide the state up from Socorro south and east and make it another state and leave the northern people to take care of themselves.
Of course, we've got Baja, New Mexico, which is El Paso. That's part of New Mexico, isn't it?
Sure, yeah.
State government would lose all the oil money if we did that.
No, ooh, we wouldn't, because we'd take the east side. Say,
right,
southeast.
We'd have it in this new state. That's down right. Here, and they wouldn't have it up there. What would they do with
them? Espanolas and them over there find out how they're going to live.
Wow.
So they would be New Santa Fe, and we'd be New Mexico then.
That's right.
It's a plan.
Our Albuquerque listeners like that too much.
Talking with Andy Nunez, Heath Houseman's here. Yeah. 22 minutes past the hour. You can go to newsnm.com and follow along. Jim Spence and me, Michael Swickard, will be right back after these messages.
One of the great wealth-building techniques of all time is the idea of capital gain deferral. If you look at Warren Buffett and his history at Berkshire Hathaway, and one of the ways in which Buffett has managed to accumulate wealth at a remarkably rapid rate is the idea of deferring capital gains taxes. One of the things that happens when people take capital gains is any time you engage in a transaction where you have been successful, Uncle Sam is going to have his hands out and is going to take advantage of your success by extracting taxation. So, in a sense, capital gain realization represents a drag or a friction on overall investment returns. Now, of course, this application is particularly applicable to after-tax accounts. In IRAs and 401ks, pension plans, these principles don't necessarily apply. But the overriding idea here is that when you have successful investments, if you want to realize that success by way of selling an asset or even selling a portion of the asset, you can expect the cost of taxation to eat into your overall net rate of return. Now, there's been a lot of illustrations that have been put into place over the years to illustrate the value of deferring taxes. The best way, I think about tax deferral is to think about it this way. If you realize capital gains and you pay taxes, you're compelled to give up money. Well, that's obvious. But if you avoid taxes essentially and leave your investment alone, the net effect is, when compared to realizing taxes, is that you have an interest-free loan from the government to continue to hold on to your investment. Well, interest-free loans are very, very difficult to come by. And those who are able to secure interest-free loans often can earn a very, very high rate of return on their investment due to the lack of the cost of the capital. So, very, very important to understand that deferring capital gains taxes in after-tax accounts should be a critical component to any intelligent investment strategy, because deferring capital gains is the mathematical equivalent of an interest-free loan from the government.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where it is understood that whenever you see a successful business, someone once made a courageous decision.
Fun's all over down here for sure now, ain't it? Fun? What would you know about fun, Woodrow? You never had no fun in your whole darn life. Fun is my department.
Okay, fun is my department. Jim Spence never has any fun. I'm Michael Swickard. We are News New Mexico for Tuesday, December 20th. Actually, neither of us have any fun. We just like to work. We've got Andy Nunez here. He is the representative from District 36 and the only independent. We have Heath Houselman. He's with NEMPolitics.net.
If you like to work, isn't that having fun?
It is. That's fun for us. Oh, yeah.
So Representative Nunez, let me ask you. You've got re-election coming up next year as an independent. Independents don't have a good track record once they switch parties of being reelected, I don't think. Not that it can't happen, but people I've talked to seem to think if you know you've been good allies with the governor, if she could convince a Republican to stay out of the race and it's just you and a Democrat, that you can win. But what if it's a well-funded Republican and a well-funded Democrat and a well-funded you in the middle? How does that race come out?
Well, I think I'll be better off.
Yeah? You'd rather have two opponents?
Oh, yes. Because I've got Democrats and I have Republicans that support me. Mm-hmm. And 20% of the people in my district are declined estates.
Yeah. Okay.
So, no, I think, as a matter of fact, I look forward to having one from each party.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Representative, I want to go back to the issue of double dipping. This came about as a result of Larry Barker's investigative report on Cheryl Williams Stapleton. Bigger issue at stake here is the idea of public school employees going to Santa Fe to serve in the legislature, collect a per diem while they're there, and also draw a salary while somebody else does their job back home. What are your thoughts? I mean, you go up there and you serve. You just take your per diem. Nobody's paying you to serve, are they?
No, they're not. And, you know, when I won election, I was working for the university, and I had to retire.
Right.
Really?
I could not work for the university and serve in the legislature.
So do you think there's a conflict of interest between Albuquerque Public Schools and the taxpayers via their employees, including Cheryl Williams Stapleton?
Well, you know, it's not just Albuquerque Public Schools. There's others throughout the state that are also working.
Well, and drawing a salary.
And drawing a salary.
This is a little ancillary item, which is when you go, you live far enough away, you've got to stay in a hotel, right?
I stay at the Plaza Real.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you have people who get per diem and they live in Santa Fe, they live in Albuquerque, they don't have to drive up there. Do you get the same per diem as they get?
Same thing.
So they're basically, they're doing a lot better because they already got their house there.
Yeah. Well, the ones that in Santa Fe, after less than 50 miles away, they have to pay tax on all that.
Oh, okay.
And we do not pay tax.
So the people in Albuquerque don't pay tax there, a little over 50 away.
Right. A lot of them stay at home and drive back and forth.
Yeah. Oh. So that's a lot of commuting. Do you? There's been a lot of talk recently about paying legislators as a way to maybe open up the pool, let more people serve. It's something I support. What do you think about that proposal? Do you support it? And do you also think that politically it could ever happen?
Politically, you know, it tried it a couple of times, and it's gotten through the legislature, but the voters have voted it down. Yeah. And I think they ought to. There could be, instead of old-timers like me running all the time, it could be young guys like you.
Yeah.
That could afford to go up there and serve.
I can tell you, I don't think that a lot of young people could afford to go up there and forego the income. So
not
isn't
now.
That created a kind of a little bit of an elitist thing if you don't pay your legislature?
Oh, yes, I think so. You either have to be getting retirement or have to be well off.
We are News New Mexico talking with Andy Nunez. Thank you so much for what you do, Representative Nunez.
Thank you.
We're going to continue with Heath Houselman. He has got NEMPolitics.net. We'll kick around some other stuff. Jim Spence is here. I'm Michael Swickard. We are News New Mexico. You can go to our website, newsnm.com, and follow along. You can also send us feedback. We get a lot of feedback. You can even actually say something nice about us. We don't care. We're not sick. It is 30 minutes past the hour.
I can help the next customer over here.
Oh, thank you.
Hi. Wow, that's a lot of books. Let's see. How to keep your child safe. Child-proofing your home, child-proofing your yard, child-proofing your in-laws' home and yard. Well, I'm guessing you have a little one at home?
Yeah.
Well, it looks like you must take good care of her.
Oh, thank you.
Now, let's see. Parents' Guide to Safe Toys. That's a really good one. Parents' Guide to Safe Foods. Parents' Guide to Safe Safety Products. Parents' Guide to Parenting Guides. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and other safety tips.
Of all the things you can read about keeping your child safe, the most important is attached to the back of their car seat. Read the instruction manual and learn to use the latch system. It makes it easier to be sure your child's car seat is installed correctly.
Parents Guide to Telling Other Parents How to Raise Their Kids.
To learn more, go to safercar.gov. Anchor, tether, latch. The next generation of child safety. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Hey, Jim Spence, we're on break right now. We were talking on these breaks sometimes about the 7 habits of highly effective people, and I love the number 7 habit, which is sharpen the saw. He was looking out the window. He saw one of his neighbors who was sawing down a tree, and he went back and did something. He came back. That guy was still out there sawing that tree down, so he walked out. You know how people like to watch work?
Yeah.
And he said, boy, this looks like a hard job. And this guy's sawing away, and he said, oh, man, this is just awful. And he said, well, maybe you ought to stop and sharpen the saw. And the guy said, I can't do it. I'm too busy cutting the tree down. Yeah. Sharpen the saw.
Amazing concept. And basically, I think how it applies to us is, you know, there's some fitness aspects to life that you got to pay attention to. You have to have spiritual fitness. You have to, and a lot of times what you can do is you can get that just by appreciating nature. A lot of times nature will give you a great, great sense of spiritual fitness. There's another aspect of fitness, mental fitness. This means developing your mind. It's taking some time to improve your mind by studying somebody like Stephen Covey, who is a great effectiveness
coach.
You
could even listen to us on News New Mexico.
That's a stretch.
That got the laugh.
That's a real stretch. Now, the other aspect would be physical fitness. Now, I've been told that I have the body of a Greek god, Flabius. I don't know if you're familiar with this god.
Flabius, yes.
But
As we digress.
But the point being about physical fitness is
that's sharpening the saw.
It's sharpen the saw. I actually do get on my exercise bike several times per week, and it helps my cardiovascular system. It helps my circulatory system. And so sharpening the saw means treating your body as something that is akin to a machine. It has to be well-tuned.
I can help the next customer over here.
Oh, thank you. Hi.
Wow, that's a lot of books. Let's see. How to keep your child safe. Child-proofing your home. Child-proofing your yard. Child-proofing your in-laws, home and yard. Well, I'm guessing you have a little one at home.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like you must take good care of her.
Oh, thank you.
Now, let's see. Parents Guide to Safe Toys. That's a really good one. Parents Guide to Safe Foods. Parents Guide to Safe Safety Products. Parents Guide to Parenting Guides. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and other safety tips.
Of all the things you can read about keeping your child safe, the most important is attached to the back of their car seat. Read the instruction manual and learn to use the latch system. It makes it easier to be sure your child's car seat is installed correctly.
Parents Guide to Telling Other Parents How to Raise Their Kids.
To learn more, go to safercar.gov. Anchor, tether, latch. The next generation of child safety. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
This is Congressman Steve Pierce. If you want to learn more about what Congress is doing to create jobs and cut spending in Washington, then I invite you to my website, pierce.house.gov. That's pierce.house.gov. That's where you can easily correspond directly with our office, get help with a federal agency, apply for a passport, or find out the next location of a town hall meeting. If you have a specific veterans or health care issue, our office handles cases like yours every day. And we might be able to help through a process called casework. We can't promise the outcome, but we will fight for you. Just telephone 1-855-4-PIERCE. We're serving the people of Southern New Mexico effectively and efficiently through our website and toll-free hotline. I hope you will take advantage of these services, pierce.house.gov. We also report our daily activities on Facebook, so you can always be up to date with what we're doing to impact lives here in Southeast New Mexico. Thank you.
Paid for by official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where we try to help New Mexico businesses every single day.
Very good. Very good. You know something? No soup for you! Come back 1 year!
No soup for you. Come back, Munya. I do like that, Seinfeld. This is News New Mexico for Tuesday, December 20th, 2011. Jim Spence here. I'm Michael Swickard. We're talking with Heath Houselman. He is with NMPolitics.net. Governor Richardson, speaking about somebody who's not getting any soup right now.
Right.
No soup for him right
now.
No
soup for him. Merry Christmas, though.
Merry Christmas. Yeah.
Happy Hanukkah today.
Happy Hanukkah
it's
today.
It's Hanukkah today.
But that's not what he said yesterday.
No.
What he said yesterday, he also said, now why would he go to the legislature? What's in that building?
Richardson likes a fight, first of all. But second of all, North Korea was what was in that building yesterday. I mean, you know.
What's he doing
North
in
Korea
the
roundhouse? Leader dies.
Yes.
Richardson can't resist an opportunity to get on the national news, so he puts out feelers. Of course, everyone wants to talk to him. He's one of the foremost experts on North Korea in the world, outside of North Korea. That means he's got to go to the roundhouse and talk to some TV crews.
I see. That's where
where they are. So he goes in, and of course a couple of reporters see that he goes in and wait outside the door. And, Governor, can you comment on the allegations of the federal investigation into the alleged extramarital affair? Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I got to go. Walks out the door. The whole thing's on video. But he likes that sort of thing. I mean, he really does. He's got this personality. He likes a fight. He doesn't mind being in this combative. I mean, I was in a combative situation with him. He likes picking fights with journalists. So, so in addition to not being able to stay away from the national media, you know, he gets a rush off, you know, the fight with the local reporters, I think.
What was he doing in Santa Fe, even?
He lives there.
Really?
Yeah, he has a home there.
He has his primary and his
Richardson,
residence there.
His Richardson Center for International Relations or whatever it's called is in Santa Fe. He has an office there.
Yeah.
Didn't he get hornswoggled by North Korea where they promised to do one thing and didn't he negotiate the release of something?
No, that was Cuba recently.
Okay.
According to him, he understood that he was going down there with and bringing back an American. And he has such a good track record of doing it
He's
probably right. He probably did believe he had an agreement
and
gets down there and they say never mind and use it to cause a big international incident.
So
where do you learn your talents for negotiating with North Korea?
Richardson is this is one of his genuine talents, his negotiation. He is innately brilliant.
Well, you know, he shook hands 14,000 times one day to set
the
world record for shaking hands. Now, I thought that Gary Carruthers could have had it because we were talking to him the other day, former governor, and we found out he grew up on a dairy farm and they had a good grip you know, you milk cows twice a day and a bunch of them, you get a grip. And I asked the governor, he said, yes, he has a firm grip, but Bill did not. He was a pitcher in college, he has a good grip.
He was
there.
Nearly good enough to be professional.
Yeah,
but you know, Richardson just craves that kind of attention. He's the kind of guy who would go stand at the state fair for 8 hours to shake enough hands to get into the Guinness Book of World Records because it's important to him.
So, Heath, you wrote a column. It's on nmpolitics.net. Fresh column this morning. So let's get your take, and you can set it up in the
Americans
background.
Shouldn't be detained indefinitely. Heath,
we're talking about this debate about the defense funding bill that played through Washington last week. And I got interested in this because I have never encountered a congressional debate that I found so confusing to sort through the spin and the counterspin to get to the truth.
Right.
And I just never have. And the more I dug into it, the more I figured out there is genuine disagreement about what existing federal law says and what this bill says about whether the military can detain Americans without charge or trial, so indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Pierce says the bill does not authorize it. On the other hand, we have Lindsey Graham saying it absolutely does authorize it, and it's a power that the American government should have. We have Democrats, progressive left, and libertarian right opposing this, saying we shouldn't allow that. We have the Obama administration saying we already have the authority to do this. Their issue with the bill was it took away their ability to decide when to use that power and when not. So,
well, now, on your website, you carry my columns and have been doing it for many, many years. One time a few years ago, I was headed somewhere, and I used to do a lot of driving to do consulting works in school districts, and every time I went anywhere, I had to go through the Border Patrol checkpoint. Well, as happens from time to time, guy steps up and says, where are you going?
Right.
What you doing?
Which is none of their business.
Who are you going to see?
They ask anyway.
When are you coming back? And I said, sir, that is constitutionally protected information. I do not intend to tell you that.
You could be deemed a terror suspect.
I mean, okay, and here, so luckily the guy behind him said, go ahead.
Yeah.
And then I found out could keep me at least 24 hours sitting in my car on the side of the road if they so desired.
But there's a difference between 24 hours and indefinitely. And ultimately, I took the stand that if there's a gray area here, we should err on the side of protecting American civil liberties. Rand Paul, who opposed this bill, here's what he said that I think sort of sums it up. If you allow the government the unlimited power to detain citizens without a jury trial, you're exposing yourself to the whim of those in power. That's a dangerous game. And then he talks about what the FBI publishes as a list of characteristics people should look for in possible terror suspects. It includes the possession of meals ready to eat, weatherproofed ammunition and high-capacity magazines, missing fingers, brightly colored stains on clothing.
Whoa, wait. Missing fingers.
Paying for products in cash and changes in hair color. Anybody ever dyed their hair and has MREs because they go backpacking in their light? You could be a terror suspect if you take the FBI list.
I have everything but two of them.
Yeah.
I don't have hair.
Some of them too.
I don't have hair to change color, and I have all my fingers, but otherwise everything else, I have those things.
And I just wrote a column criticizing the government. Where does it stop? Oh, and the slippery slope, I think, started earlier when the president authorized the assassination of an American citizen in Yemen who was undeniably a terrorist.
What did you think about that?
I didn't think the Constitution granted him the authority to do that, but Democrats and Republicans, the majority of them, are fine with it.
Now, we split here. Yeah. I was with you, and I said they do not have the right to kill an American without due process.
What if that American is on American soil? This one wasn't.
Doesn't matter.
And what if the next one is there's slightly less justification for killing? I mean, it's a slippery slope. Same thing with detention of an American. The first one might be undoubtedly a terrorist, but you know, what happens, as Rand Paul points out, the vice president has said Tea Partiers are terrorists, and there are people on the right who say Occupy people are terrorists, and really most of both organizations are not anywhere you could even remotely call terrorists. But what if some president decides to label them that?
Section 1032, the actual language of the bill, under 4B, says applicability to United States citizens and lawful resident aliens. The requirement to detain a person in military custody under this section does not extend to citizens of the United States.
Right.
And it does not apply to lawful resident aliens. That's the language of the bill. Now, that's fine.
That's not the language of the bill. That's the language of that specific section of the bill.
Well, that's the applicable language, is whether or not this applies to U.S. citizens. There's nothing else in the bill that brings up U.S. citizens.
That's the problem. Section 1021 doesn't specifically exempt U.S. citizens.
I think the Bill of Rights exempts citizens.
But the courts are mixed on whether you're right on that, and the Obama administration disagrees with
you. So what you're saying is the courts can't figure out what the Constitution says.
Yes.
That's a separate issue.
And in the meantime, the fear of people on the far right and the far left who oppose this bill is that a president could interpret it.
So are you afraid of this language or a court that can't interpret the Constitution?
I'm afraid of a president who just says, in the ambiguity that exists right now, I'm going to do this.
I don't see anything in this language that creates ambiguity.
But the law is ambiguous.
So this suspends habeas corpus is what it does it not?
It could be interpreted to do that.
Of course it does.
The requirement to detain a person in military custody under this section does not extend to citizens of the United States.
Under this section. But 1021 is a different section that allows for this to happen that doesn't exempt them. It says 1021 says
it doesn't specifically exempt.
1021 says, I'm trying to pull it up. Sorry, it's taking me too long. It essentially says it doesn't supersede existing law at all. And the courts are mixed on existing law and what it means.
Well, the courts have ruled when the Bill of Rights say Congress shall make no law. the courts have ruled Congress should make laws. All right, we are News New Mexico, talking with Heath Houseman, 45 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Super Checking
from Bank 34.
Open a Bank 34 Super Checking account today with only $50 minimum to open. No monthly service charge, free online banking, and free user-friendly bill pay. No fee used at 43,000 surcharge-free all-point network ATMs worldwide. And interest on balances $500 and above.
Stop in for more details.
Bank 34, 220 North Telcher Boulevard in Las Cruces and 500 10th Street in Alamogordo. Bank34online.com.
Member FDIC.
Jenkins, I need coordinates now!
Captain, 2 nautical miles and closing fast. This blip here is Sonic's new Kick and Coney, a premium beef hot dog topped with chili and crispy onions.
Yes! And that's the bacon and blue dog with crispy bacon and blue cheese dressing. But what is this triangle that they're forming?
Sir, the toppings appear to be the perfect triangulation of saucy, melty, and crispy.
Are you sure?
Yes!
Ramming speed!
Introducing 2 new additions to Sonic's $1.99 premium beef hot dog family, the Kick and Coney and the Bacon and Blue Dog. For a limited time, only at participating Sonic drive-ins. See menu for details. This is how you Sonic.
What do these athletic departments have in common? How about the University of Alabama Crimson Tide and the University of Washington Huskies? The Florida Gators and the Texas Longhorns, or the Louisiana State Tigers and New Mexico State Aggies? They all use sports accessories for their screen printing and embroidering needs. If these athletic departments use sports accessories, then you can too. Sports Accessories handles screen printing and embroidering for big universities and hundreds of little league teams as well. Visit the website at sportsaccessories.biz. Again, sportsaccessories, one word, .biz. Sports Accessories, located in Las Cruces, produces screen printing and embroidering for any occasion, sports-related or not. When it comes to screen printing and embroidering, you need to check out Sports Accessories. Call 575-526-2417 to speak to a screen printing and embroidering expert. That number again is 575-526-2417.
Mom, can I have a dollar?
My purse is upstairs on my bed.
It's not here.
What about your sister's room?
Nope.
The upstairs closet?
No.
The downstairs closet.
Mom, there are no more closets.
I'm sorry, honey. It was right here all along.
Moms everywhere are finding ways to keep their kids active and healthy. Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
My sport is football, but my passion is education. So every year, I take promising high school students on a college tour. It shows them that there's a whole world beyond their own. But what's even better is that most of these kids decide college is for them. My name is Nnamdi Asamoah. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Find out how you can live United for Education. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Well, it's break time, and Jim Spence and I are just sitting here. Nothing to do, you know. We talk for a living, and since we talk for a living and they got commercials on, gosh. So we thought, well, if you're listening to us on the internet or on the podcast, we'd talk about Stephen Covey and his 7 habits of highly effective people. We went through those, and then there's an 8th habit, isn't there?
Yeah, and this is something that came out way after the fact. Covey did a great job, I think, of structuring the idea of effectiveness or success, whatever, however you want to define it. But he contemplated that. That series is now, I guess it may be approaching 20 years old now. But he did start to contemplate the 7 habits, and he came up with an 8th habit. And I love the 8th habit because I think it kind of reflects sort of my worldview.
And it is talk radio.
It is, actually. And it's one of the purposes for why we're on the air, and that is the idea that what do effective people do after, if they are committed to the first 7 habits, which we have discussed and we won't list right now, but the bottom line is the 8th habit is you got to teach. You got to teach principles. You got to teach. You got to share your wisdom, share your experiences, and even share the Covey habits, which is what we are doing on some of these podcast series where if you're on the radio, you're listening to commercials, and we have nothing against commercials.
We like
they pay
them.
The bills, and we run commercials here on the podcast. But teach is the idea of the 8th habit, and great effective people, they will take time out. You see Warren Buffett do it when he goes to places like Columbia University and lecture along with Bill Gates. People like Tom Brokaw write books about the great generation that fought World War II.
Generation.
The greatest generation. And so what we try to do on News New Mexico, we have some awareness of financial issues and education issues and maybe some other issues. We try to teach based on what we've learned.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where we look out for people who depend on paychecks from New Mexico businesses every single day.
I have been concerned for too long about a culture that says if it feels good, just go ahead and do it.
We are News New Mexico. Jim Spence here. I'm Michael Swicker talking with Heath Houselman, NMPolitics.net. We're also on the Newsmaker line. We have Frank Du Bois. Welcome, Frank.
Well, hello, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was wondering, I'd like to tell Heath to explain to him why he found it so hard to ascertain exactly what that bill does.
Yeah.
It's done that way on purpose. And I'm serious about that. A bill like that, of that importance and of that significance, should be introduced in both houses of Congress. Mm-hmm. There should be hearings held by the appropriate committee.
Right.
Legal experts can be brought in and given testimony. And it should be debated in the full light of day. But instead, you see, they come in during these conference committees with last-minute language. It's not unusual at all for them to place it in different sections. And then you go read those sections, and they will refer to a section of previous law. And then you have to go read that law.
Yeah.
So it's done on purpose to obfuscate exactly what it is they're trying to do.
Well, what do you think they're trying to do, Frank?
I think that the American public, if they had full realization of the powers that the federal government claims to have over our civil liberties, would be shocked and dismayed and want to have something done about it. And so, for instance, look at the Patriot Act. It was done the same way. It was rushed through after a crisis. The things that Clinton got through were rushed through after the Oklahoma City bombing. Other things that the FBI and others have done on the war on drugs have been just like this, where a bill is passed the House and Senate, and then they come in at the last minute and in conference committee sneak in language.
Well, it started even before that. The Senate held closed-door hearings on this bill to introduce it. Committees were held in secret. That was one of the ACLU's biggest objections. There wasn't even a public process leading up to Senate approval of this bill even before the conference committee with the House. The whole thing was done secretly.
Yes. Well, I'm just saying, if historically, basically since Nixon started the drug war, almost every advancement, if you want to call it that, or increase in the authority of the executive branch has come about by using this kind of a process instead of an open and transparent process.
Frank Du Bois is on the Newsmaker line talking with Heath Houselman, who is with NMPolitics.net. It is 53 minutes past the hour. Frank, one of my pet peeves is daylight savings time was changed to four different weeks, extended 4 weeks, and nobody knows who did it. It was done in a conference atmosphere, and nobody can go back and say, well, who did this? We don't actually know who makes Americans 4 extra weeks a year go to daylight savings time. This is kind of the problem we have, isn't it?
Yeah, they don't want, you know, the same thing was true with certain earmarks as far as funding and stuff. There was no transparency with respect to who sponsored this earmark.
So, Frank, I've read this language a couple of times on the air this morning. I could do it again, but basically it's under applicability to United States citizens and lawful resident aliens. I won't read the entire language, but it says it does not extend to citizens and it does not extend to lawful resident aliens. Is that not good enough?
If you read that carefully, there are different sections in the bills and they have different authorities. And then there's another section where they say it doesn't change existing law. And I would like for somebody to explain to me what existing law is.
Yeah.
That's what I was asking last week, and I got different interpretations from different people.
So can we go back to the idea of just the Bill of Rights? I mean, obviously language in any statute can be written that is unconstitutional. But do you think that we have a fundamental problem that we've gotten away from the Constitution, the Bill of Rights in particular?
Oh, I certainly do. when it comes, you know, and it's been exacerbated to some extent by the internet age and the amount of data that's out there and those kind of things. So that you know, where they can come into an internet service provider and obtain all kinds of data. It's just, but yeah, the basic problem, as I see it anyway, is we have these civil liberties. They're there in the Constitution. The American public needs to be aware of them and demand that they be protected. And if we could do that, I think we could protect ourselves.
So then the question would be, this is attached to funding the military.
Right.
So where's the motivation coming from? Is it coming from President Obama to create some sort of a monkey wrench in the funding of the military? Is it coming from people who voted for the bill, who wanted this language in there? I mean, where do you think the political motivation comes from?
Okay, well, it's, you know, I think he's touched a, by the way, Heath, that's an excellent column.
Thank you.
And I hope you'll continue to follow up on that and similar issues. This is the process I was trying to explain. You've got congressmen who want funding for bases and military equipment and facilities and everything in their home districts. It's important for them to get this bill funded. It's almost like a must bill, and it's just those kind of bills where they add this kind of language on where you have limited debate.
So Congressman Steve Pierce said he was comfortable with the language. You think he's misjudging this bill?
I think he's put too much trust in what certain people, the language and the information that people have sent him. Let me put it this way, and I think Heath maybe said it earlier. If we're going to err, let's err on the side of liberty.
Yeah.
In the end, Congressman Pierce may be right, and the language may be sufficient, but there are plenty who feel that it is not, and so I would agree, if we're going to err, let's err on the side of liberty.
And those plenty who feel that it's not enough, I just want to add, are bipartisan, and voting against defense funding is hard. And I especially want to highlight Martin Heinrich, who, you know, probably doesn't get a lot of praise on, you know, on this show, but he's in a Senate primary in a Senate race where this vote is going to hurt him.
He'd get and more he praise if he came
well,
on.
That's a fair point.
We're talking
he voted for it anyway. Good for him.
We're talking with Frank Du Bois. He served as New Mexico's Secretary of Agriculture from 1988 to 2003. Was also a Deputy Assistant Secretary of Interior. Thanks, Frank.
All right, thank
y'all. Heath Houselman, thank you so much for what you do. We are News New Mexico.
Red Hawk Golf Club is now open. On the northern edge of Las Cruces, Red Hawk features everything you want when enjoying a day of golf. From the picturesque views of the Oregon Mountains to a challenging layout, Red Hawk has it all. Red Hawk was designed by legendary architect Ken Dye, who has laid out many well-known golf projects all over the world. With distance ranging from 5,500 to 7,500 yards, water coming into play on 8 holes to go along with 76 bunkers, there is no better option to play golf in the Southwest than Red Hawk. The new course is set on 200 acres, including 100 acres of turf, 50 acres of planted native grasses, and 50 more of natural desert. Become a member and enjoy unlimited rounds of golf, unlimited use of carts, and special privileges. For more information, visit golflascruces.com or call 575-373-8100. Once again, that's 575-373-8100.